So we go back to, I think, 1937, 35?
Huh?
35, huh? September 29th. So we repeat a little bit from last week. September 29th, the Feast of St. Michael and the Archangel. I become in theory united with God. His presence penetrates me to my very depths and fills me with peace, joy, and amazement. Always, if you have united the Lord, it's always peace, no doubt. After such moments of prayer, I'm filled with the strength and an extraordinary courage to suffer and struggle. So you have the grace to go ahead, not just an easy life. You have the grace, not only peace, but also the strength to go ahead. Nothing extraordinary courage to suffer and struggle. Not extraordinary, eh? You have to suffer. Nothing terrifies me, even if the whole world should turn against me. All adversities touch only the surface, but they have no entry to depths, because God, who strengthens me, who fills me, dwells there. If there is God inside, then my adversities may touch the superficial part. If you have God, you are safe. So that's why Jesus is always telling us, don't be afraid. Attacks always, but superficial. All the snares of the enemy are crushed at his full stall. During these moments of union, God sustains me with his might. His might passes on to me and makes me capable of loving him. Important is continue to love, even to have attacks. Don't take so much energy to against attacks. Keep closer to the Lord, and the Lord will do his part for you. A soul never reaches these states by its own efforts. At the beginning of this interior grace, I was filled with fright, and I started to give in to it. But very quickly, the Lord let me know how much this displeased him. Humanly speaking, you want to solve the things by yourself. But if that doesn't work much, the Lord wants you to completely trust in him. But it is also he himself who set my fears at rest. So he helped us. Almost every feast of church gives me a deeper knowledge of God and his special grace. That is why I prepare myself for each feast and unite myself closely with the spirit of the church. What a joy it is to be a faithful child of the church. Oh, how much I love Holy Church and all those who live in it. I look upon them as living members of Christ, who is their head. I burn with love with those who love. I suffer with those who suffer. I am consumed with sorrow at the sight of those who are cold and ungrateful. So when you see people who are not grateful, you feel sad, not because you are sad, but because you feel they are ungrateful. And I then try to have such a love for God that it will make amends for those who do not love him. You do your part for the other people. So you work harder. You love more for those who doesn't love. Those who feed their Savior with ingratitude at his worst. So there are people surrounding. And Jesus said already, many called, few are chosen. So if they don't take this grace, have pity on these people and pray for them and work hard and do some sacrifice on their behalf. Oh my God, I'm conscious of my mission in the Holy Church. It is my constant endeavor to plead for mercy for the world. I unite myself closely with Jesus and stand before Him as an atoning sacrifice on behalf of the world. God will refuse me nothing when I entreat Him with the voice of His Son. My sacrifice is nothing in itself, but when I join it to the sacrifice of Jesus, it becomes all-powerful and has the power to appease divine wrath. So we share and try and put it into God's hand, and together, only yourself, how I pray for this person, united with Jesus, is very important. Otherwise, you will be proud. I can help this person, help that person. You can do nothing. Join with Jesus. God loves us in His Son. God loves each one of us in Jesus. The painful passion of God, of the Son of God, constantly turns aside the wrath of God. Only Jesus can appease the anger of God. Oh God, how I desire that souls come to know You and to see that You have created them because of Your unfathomable love. Oh my Creator Lord, I feel that I'm going to remove the veil of heaven so that earth will no doubt Your goodness. That's a mission to let people know God loves us. Make of me, Jesus, a pure and agreeable offering before the face of Your Father. Jesus, transform me, miserable and sinful as I am, into Your own self. For You can do all things, tell Jesus, tell God, and give me to Your eternal Father. I want to become a sacrificial host before You, but an ordinary wafer to people. So that means to say, she wants to become another simple wife, simple bread of life. We receive Jesus in the bread, no? Son of bread is born of Christ. But Faustina got the idea that he become a simple wife, a simple bread, we become another Jesus. It's not we live, but Jesus lives in us. I want the frequency of my sacrifice to be known to You alone. Whatever You have done, just let Jesus know. Don't have to show to people, I pray for You, eh? O eternal God, an unquenchable fire of supplication, for Your mercy turns within me. I know and understand that this is my task, here and eternity. So today, Faustina is with us. So ask Faustina, give us special grace that we... You Yourself have told me to speak about this great mercy and about Your goodness. So many things we don't understand, and ask Faustina to let us understand better. What's your opinion about all these things? You know, put it into our soul. On a certain occasion, I understood how when displeased God is with an act, however commendable, that does not bear the stamp of a pure intention. So you love for purely for the love of God, nothing else but for yourself. Many times you do good so that he will do something good return. Unconditional. Such deeds incite God to punishment rather than to reward. May such deeds be as few as possible in our lives. Indeed, in religious life, there should be none at all. As a religious, always pure intention, only for the love of God, nothing else. So always this year. I accept joy or suffering, praise or humiliation with the same disposition. For better, for worse, Thank the Lord. I remember that one and the other are passing. Everything will pass. Every word people said against you, it will pass. What does it matter to me what people say about me? I have long ago given up everything that concerned my person. So she doesn't even want one minute for herself. Only at majorem dei gloriam, for the greater glory of God. My name is Host. She become the host. Just what she called a piece of simple wafer. You want nothing. Only God. Or sacrifice. Not in words, but in deeds. In the emptying of myself and in becoming like you on the cross, O good Jesus, my Master. So, we share the suffering only. Jesus, when you come to me in Holy Communion, you who together with the Father and the Holy Spirit have dined to dwell in the little heaven of my heart. I try to keep your company throughout the day. I do not leave you alone for even a moment. Jesus, come to your house. Stay with him. Many times, just forgot, you forget. As if nothing happened. After Holy Communion, maybe after a few seconds, the same self there. We don't keep the importance of the presence of Jesus. Although I am in the company of other people or with our words, my heart is always united to him. So she is looking after the students. No? So she has many things to do. But she always reminds herself, what you call a living tabernacle. When I'm asleep, I offer him every bit of my heart. Often you don't know what you're doing. The beating of the heart is for Jesus. When I awaken, I immerse myself in him without saying a word. But just not a prayer. But your heart is beating for him alone. When I awaken, I adore the Holy Trinity for a short while and thank God for having dined to give me yet another day. That the mystery of the incarnation of his Son may once more be repeated in me, that Jesus we live in you. You be another host. Nothing else. And that once again, his sorrowful passion may unfold before my eyes. So you live the whole life of Jesus, not only glorious mystery, but also sorrowful mystery. You share, for better or for worse, of God. You enjoy his peace, companion, friendship, and also enjoy when there's time that people gossip against you, you're suffering physically or psychologically, all this pain coming in, you still thank you, Jesus. Only for you, only for you, only for you. I then try to make it easier for Jesus to pass through me to other souls. I go everywhere with Jesus. His presence accompanies me everywhere. That's the best thing. No matter you stay home, outside, at work, at rest, always be with Jesus. Jesus is always in you. You just become a simple wafer that Jesus do what he likes. In the sufferings of my soul or body, I try to keep silence. For then my spirit gains the strength that flows from the passion of Jesus. I have ever before my eyes his sorrowful face, abused and disfigured, his divine heart pierced by our sins, and especially by the ingratitude of chosen souls. Especially those who have chosen to be religious, to be priests, and they are not living up to the call. It hurt Jesus more, but Faustina take all this in. It's for the sake of other people. Twice I was exhorted to make myself ready for sufferings awaiting me in Warsaw. The first warning was given in theory by a voice I heard, and second took place during Holy Mass. Before the elevation, I saw the Lord Jesus on the cross, and he said to me, "Prepare yourselves for sufferings." I thank the Lord for the grace of these warnings and said to him, "I'm certainly not going to suffer more than you, my Savior." Although he's suffering, but she tells Jesus, "You suffer more than myself. However, I took this to heart and kept strengthening myself through prayer, a little sufferings so that I would be able to endure it when the greater ones come. So Faustina is always ready to live with Jesus, for better or for worse, always one with the Lord. October 19, 1935, trip from Vilnius to Krakow for an 8-day retreat. Sorry. On Friday evening during Rosary, when I was thinking about tomorrow's journey and about the importance of the matter which I was to present to Father Andres, fear seized me. At the sight of my misery and incapability and of the greatness of God's work, crushed by this suffering, I submitted myself to the will of God. At that moment, I saw Jesus in a bright garment near my Lila. He said, "Why are you afraid to do my will? Will I not tempt you as I have done thus far? Repeat every one of my demands to those who represent me on earth, but do only what they tell you to do." At that, a certain strength entered my soul, for her obedience is the secret to keep peace. Of course, you have lots of ideas from the Lord, but you have to listen to the bishops, to the superior, obey it, that keep her safe. The next morning, I saw my guardian angel, who accompanied me throughout the journey as far as Warsaw. He disappeared when we entered the convent gates, just as we were passing the little chapel on the way to greet the superiors. God's presence took hold of me, and the Lord filled me with the fire of his love. At such moments, I always have a better understanding of the greatness of His Majesty. When we took our seats on the train from Warsaw to Krakow, I once again saw my guardian angel at my side. He was absorbed in prayer, in contemplating God, and I followed him with my thoughts. When we arrived at the convent entrance, he disappeared. The guardian angel. Do you ever see your guardian angel? We don't, eh? But we have our guardian angel. When I entered the chapel, once again, the majesty of God overwhelmed me. I felt that I was immersed in God, totally immersed in Him and penetrated by Him, being aware of how much the Heavenly Father loves us. Oh, what great happiness fills my heart from knowing God and divine life. It is my desire to share this happiness with all people. I cannot keep this happiness locked in my own heart alone. For His flames turn me and cause my bosom and my entrails to burst asunder. I desire to go throughout the whole world and speak to souls about the great mercy of God. Please help me to this. Use the strongest words at your disposal to proclaim His mercy. For every word falls short of how merciful He really is. So it's important to keep the mercy of the Lord. That's a mission. Krakow, October 20th, 1935, 8-day retreat. Eternal God, goodness itself, whose mercy is incomprehensible to every intellect, whether human or angelic, help me, your feeble child, to do your holy will as you make it known to me. I desire nothing but to fulfill God's desires. Lord, here are my soul and are my body, my mind and my will, my heart and my love. Rule me according to your eternal plans. Oh, and trust. After Holy Communion, my soul was again flooded with God's love. I rejoiced in His greatness. Here I see distinctly His will, which I am to carry out. At the same time, my own weakness and misery. I see how I can do nothing without His help. Second day of retreat. When I was about to go to the parlor to see Father undress, I felt frightened because the secret is binding only in the confessional. This was a groundless fear. One word from Mother Superior set me at ease about it. Meanwhile, when I entered the chapel, I heard these words in my soul. I want you to be open and simple as a child with my representative, just as you are with me. Otherwise, I will leave you and will not commune with you. So Jesus obliged her to do the same attitude towards Jesus and towards the superior, the same attitude, listening and obedience, because we choose Jesus. Oh, how nice, Jesus, superior, your friend, but important. I'm more important because I have God and do. No, obedience. It's nice, eh? To be religious, we have this safety. Truly, God gave me the great grace of complete confidence. And after the conversation, God grants me the grace of deep peace and light concerning these matters. Jesus, eternal light, enlightened my mind, and strengthened my will, inflamed my heart, and to be with me as you have promised. For without you, I am nothing. You know, Jesus, how weak I am. I do not need to tell you this, for you yourself know perfectly well how wretched I am. It is in you that all my strength lies. Confession day. From early morning, the turmoil in my soul was more violent than anything I had ever experienced before. Complete abandonment by God. You see, day by day is different. One day is so full of love, full of light, strength, and suddenly, skull gone, dryness, darkness, no taste at all. I felt the utter weakness that I am. Thoughts wore in upon me. why should I leave this convent when I'm loved by the sisters and superiors, where life is so tranquil, where I am bound by perpetual vows and carry out my duties without difficulty? Why should I listen to the voice of my conscience? Why follow an inspiration coming from who knows where? Would it be better to carry on like all the other sisters? Perhaps the Lord's words could be stifled, not taking heed of it. Maybe God will not demand an account on them on the day of judgment. Where would this inner voice lead me if I follow it? What tremendous difficulties, tribulations, and adversities are in store for me. I fear the future, and I'm agonizing in the present. So he's still thinking about setting a new congregation, no, outside. So at times it comes in, how nice to stay in the convent and so safe and everything prepared, and you have to go out and start again and everything new. And what happened? You know, this disturbed the this suffering continued with the same intensity throughout the whole day. When in the evening my turn came for confession, I couldn't make a full confession, even though I had been preparing for a long time. I received absolution and left, not knowing what was going on within me. When I went to bed, the suffering grew even worse, or rather, it changed into fire which penetrated all the faculties of my soul like lightning, piercing me to the marrow and to the most secret recesses of my heart. In the midst of this suffering, I was unable to bring myself to do anything. You will be, the will be done, Lord. At times, I couldn't even think these words. Truly, a deadly fear had taken hold of me, and the flames of hell were touching me. Toward morning, silence set in, and my tribulations disappeared in the twinkling of an eye. But I felt so frighteningly exhausted that I couldn't even move. Continuing the whole night, struggling. During the conversation with Mother Superior, my strength returned bit by bit. But God alone knows how I felt throughout the whole day. So the whole night, Christians did. You can imagine the whole day, you know. It's a little bit better when she speaks to a superior and then recovering very slowly. Eternal truth, word incarnate, whom most faithfully fulfilled your Father's will. Today I'm becoming a martyr of your inspiration. Since I cannot carry them out because I have no will of my own, though in theory I see your will clearly, I submit in everything to the will of my superiors and my confessor. She can't say anything about anything, just tell the superior, tell the confessor, and then so weak, no stamina at all. I will follow your will insofar as you will permit me to do so through your representative. Oh my Jesus, it cannot be helped. But I give priority to the voice of church over the voice with which you speak to me. So it's important God speak to her, but also very important that she lose her idea to the teaching of the church, the order of the church. So we have to present all her ideas. After Holy Communion, I saw Jesus in the usual way, and he spoke these words to me. Lay your head on my shoulder, rest and regain your strength. Like John, the apostle, at the Last Supper, laid his head on the bosom of Jesus. And Jesus answered, lay your head on my shoulder and rest. I am always with you. Tell the friend of my heart that I use such feeble creatures to carry out my work. So don't tell us I'm weak. Just because you're weak, God works through you. So that we won't be proud of yourself. I can, you cannot. Whatever successful, it's because Jesus is working in you only, not you too. After a while, the spirit was strengthened with great power. Words of Jesus. Tell him, the confessor, that I had let him see your weakness during your confession and show him what you are of yourself. Each battle valiantly fought brings me joy, peace, light, experience, and courage for the future, honor and glory to God, and in the end, for me, a reward. Today is the feast of Christ the King, October 27, 1935. During Holy Mass, I pray fervently that Jesus might become King of all hearts, and that divine grace might shine in every soul. Then I saw Jesus as he is depicted in the image. In that image, he said to me, my daughter, you give me the greatest glory by faithfully fulfilling my desires. So Jesus listened and do what Jesus asked her to do. Oh, how great it is, your beauty. Jesus, my spouse, living flower, enclosing life-giving dew for a thirsting soul. My soul is drowned in you. You alone are the object of my desire and strivings. Unite me as close as possible to yourself, to the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Let me live and die in you. Only love has meaning. It raises up our smallest actions into infinity. Simplicity, purity of intentions. That's important. Whatever you do for the sake of love, not for yourself, that's where you got the peace from. Only love has meaning. It raises up our smallest action into infinity. My Jesus, truly I would not know how to live without you. My spirit is welded to yours. No one can really understand this. One must first love, first live in you in order to recognize you in others. So we know that Jesus lives in the other person, whatever you do, at least you do to me. But first of all, you don't know Jesus in you first. If you don't see Jesus in you, how can you see Jesus in others? Right? Many times forgot about these things. See Jesus, and all the Jesus in others are so awful. And how can, you know? My Jesus, truly I would not know how to live without you. My spirit is welded to yours. No one can really understand this. One must first live in you in order to recognize you in others. Okay, finish this three words retreat resolution, October 25th. Not to do anything without the permission of my confessor and the consent of my superiors in all things, but especially regarding these inspirations and demands of the Lord. All my free time, I will spend with the divine guests within my soul. I will safeguard my interior and exterior silence so that Jesus can rest in my heart. Interior and exterior silence so that you can have Jesus in you. You are always distracting inside and outside. That's why many times our prayer is not so prayerful, because you are thinking so many things inside and outside. So we don't keep Jesus inside. My sweetest repose will be in serving and obliging the sisters, in forgetting about myself and thinking of how to please the sisters. I will not offer explanations on my own behalf or seek to vindicate myself when criticized. I will let others judge me as they will. I have only one trusted friend in whom I confide everything, and that is Jesus, the Eucharist, and his representative, my confessor. In the midst of all sufferings, both physical and spiritual, as well as in darkness and desolation, I will remain silent like a dove and no complain. Simple heart. I will empty myself continually at his feet in order to obtain mercy for poor souls. For living. This is kind of sacrifice for the sake of the people. All my nothingness is drowned in the seas of your mercy. With the confidence of a child, I throw myself into your arms, O Father of mercy, to make up for the unbelief of so many souls who are afraid to trust in you. Oh, how very few souls really know you. How ardently I desire that the feast of mercy be known by souls. Mercy is the crown of your works. You provide for all with the love of a most tender mother. So Jesus is providing all these things. So first of all, we keep silence, interior, exterior, and he's trying to live today. You know, lift up this calling.